worldwide.
Word!
Come on, y'all, let's rock.
Take it over, wave your frequency. It's Miss J in the morning.
Hey ladies, it's March and our sponsoring organization, Pumps for Women, Inc., has a bunch of events and conferences and amazing goodies in store for every woman around the globe. Make sure to follow us on social media, Pumps for Women, Inc., on Facebook and Instagram. Make sure to like and share, and also visit our website for a ton of news updates and find out how you can become a member, pumpsforwomeninc.org, P-U-M-P-S, Purpose Uplifting, Mentoring, Positivity, and Sisterhood, right here on Pumps Radio.
Wakey, wakey, it's breakfast time.
Morning is upon us.
It's Miss J in the morning, in the morning, in the morning.
Miss J, Miss J, Miss J in the morning. Miss J, Miss J, Miss J in the morning.
Hey, it's your girl Miss J, and today's episode is featuring another soulful sister, none other than Ari Lennox. Yes, we are continuing our Her Story celebration for National Women's History Month right here on Miss J in the Morning. Shouts out to all of the ladies out there listening today, and to you men too. Ari Lennox has come up as one of the newest and sweetest and most powerful voices there is in R&B, pop, hip-hop, and soul. She first hit the scene by J. Cole. If you don't know who J. Cole is, I need you to go ahead into your hip-hop repertoire and look up who J. Cole is, who kind of put Ari Lennox on. So today's episode is featuring an exclusive interview with Ari Lennox by You Feel Me podcast. Skull Candy, shouts out to the host, Lee. Today, we're going to listen to this podcast where you get a real insight of Ari Lennox, her experience being discovered by J. Cole from SoundCloud as an independent artist, just a girl who liked to sing, all the way up to what we all feel good about, us women, our skin, our shea butter baby, which got her performing all over the world. Now, Ari Lennox has some brand new music that's hitting. I mean, Chocolate Pomegranate. I mean, so many other singles that are topping charts right now. I want you to make sure to follow her on Instagram and download her music to get the real about being a woman. Ari Lennox is one of those artists that says, hey, I'm young, I'm imperfect, and I'm going to embrace all of it. So we have another special double feature, and you're going to hear Ari Lennox Tiny Desk Concert by NPR. Now make sure you guys are listening with some mature people around, because there is some explicit language and sexual topics in her music. But those of you who know Ari know how she gets down. The truth about being a woman, the truth about being a young woman, the truth about being a young, creative black woman here in America doing what she does. It's Ari Lennox. Let's enjoy today's show on Miss J in the Morning.
What's up, everybody? My name is Lee Shaner, and you're tuned in to You Feel Me. What's up, everybody? My name is Lee. Welcome to the You Feel Me podcast. We are sitting on this beautiful choral set because our theme of the month is passionate, and the artist that we chose to represent passionate is a woman who made not only a passionate album, but a beautifully vulnerable album, an honest album. Shea Butter Baby just recently went gold, right?
Oh, wow. Thanks. Yeah. Well,
Yeah, the song.
The song.
I think, yeah.
Maybe the album, though. By the time this comes out, it might be gold. Fuck it.
Hope so.
Congrats.
Thank you.
On everything that's been happening for you.
Thank you.
How
so
does it
much.
Feel? Have you been having any time to, like, soak it in?
It feels really, really good. It's a blessing that people like to just hear soul music and R&B. And it's just me talking about, like, my life. So I'm happy people can relate. Like, I had no idea I was making, like, an apartment anthem. Like, I didn't realize that. So it's cool that people really support and love it.
Yeah, ultimately, I mean, that is what the record is, just so relatable. I think mm-hmm. everybody could find a piece of themselves mm-hmm. in it. Like,
wow,
you,
thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. I really think you made one of those records that in 15 years it'll come on at a cookout and people will be like, you kids don't know nothing about this.
Really?
Or like, you know, like my child hopefully will be vacuuming going like
dang.
Knowing that's the cleaning music. You know what I mean?
Dang.
Like, you made one of those records.
Thank you. I made cleaning house music.
Do you feel like you made that?
I mean, I never realized it until, you know, a few, like, sweet people have said that to me. Mm-hmm. So that's makes me feel like, dang, like, I guess I did accomplish something really beautiful and good.
What was that record when you were a kid that let you know it was, like, house cleaning time? Did you have that?
Dang. Honestly, man, the things that were, like, played in my household, like the what my dad and my mom was like, honestly, they were blasting like church music. Mm. Like when I think of like cleaning music, we listen to like soulful, like beautiful secular bops in the car.
Mm-hmm.
But like when I just the music that was blasting in the house was usually like gospel, so like Donnie McClurkin, Kirk Franklin.
Hell yeah, you sometimes
know.
You gotta stop.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah.
Did you grow up singing in a church?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that where you learned that mm-hmm. you had vocals? Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up singing in the church, Heritage Fellowship Church of Christ in like Northern Virginia. So somewhere in Herndon. But the church was always moving and we were always the church was always trying to like raise money to buy or to build a bigger church.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really even know what the actual. Well, I guess Reston was the original like church home. And it's probably there now. I think it's bigger and cuter now. I think they finally built it.
You ever go back?
I have not gone back, and I should.
Yeah.
Shout out to Pastor Tate.
Shout out, Pastor Tate. How old were you when you got into the church choir, and like how early on was it apparent that you had a special talent?
Well, I was 4, probably, or 5, like, joining the church choir.
Yeah.
And I just wanted a solo so bad. And, you know, Miss Kelly wanted me to take my time. Like, she didn't think I was, like, really, really ready for it. But I've been singing, like, all over the house ever since I was, like, 3.
Yeah.
And, like, my grandma, Holly, always encouraged me and said I sounded, you know, like an angel. So, I mean, I don't know. I just was always singing and writing.
Is there video
always.
Of this? Like, did they archive this?
No, unfortunately,
no.
We didn't have no VHS or no no
right.
video cameras.
Thing.
Yeah, no camcorders.
You were writing at that age, too?
I was. Young? That's what my other grandma in Charlotte, Grandma Mills, she said I used to write songs underneath her porch, and I would try to, or I would force my sister to, like, sing them with me, and she'd get annoyed.
Would you, like, gather the family around and, like, try to set up little fake performances that they could watch, that type of thing?
No. But I did at one point when my 2 little brothers, I taught them how to do like this choreography to
yeah.
like Ja Rule, some Ja Rule record and like some Christmas song. And like I can't believe they listened to me, but I taught them like this intense choreography where they were like brushing the dirt off their shoulders and everything. But it was really sad. It wasn't amazing. I was a baby tyrant when I was like little, ruining my family's life.
That's so funny. People forget that Ja Rule really had like a strong 3 summers.
Ja Rule is everything.
That's right.
So there are people that try him, and I do not like those people. I think they're disgusting, soulless pieces of crap.
Mm-hmm.
Because Ja Rule to me is life. Like, had some of the most beautiful collaborations in the world. Okay, or in life in general. Like,
J-Lo, Ashanti,
yes.
like, come on.
And his passion was
yeah.
just, I could feel that. It was just beautiful. And he was just talking real stuff. I honestly feel like even there's a lot of rappers today, like, they might be able to spit some stuff. But can you really make a record that makes a girl feel like, dang, like, I'm your, can I curse? I'm your bitch. I'm your main bitch. I'm your bottom bitch. I'm your side bitch. I'm all these bitches to you. Mm-hmm. I'm your wife or like, or like just a real, like, I don't know,
hell
like
yeah.
partner. He just made you feel like all these things, or I don't know. When I think of like what I wanted growing up, like I think
it was Ja Rule.
It was like his music to be like the background mm-hmm. to like my love life. And that never really happened, but I don't know. It was just real, like, he just cared, it seemed, about like his bitch, it seemed.
Hell yeah. Let me tell you something. When I woke up this morning knowing I had to interview mm-hmm. you, I did not think you would go on a rant
really?
About Ja Rule.
But like,
thank goodness you
and
did.
And first of all, I don't think he was ever canceled, ever. So
he didn't get canceled, but he got
people, yes, I know.
Shut down, you
exactly.
know what I mean?
Yeah. And that always annoyed me, because I don't think that, not to me, he was never shut down to me. Mm-hmm. I thought he was still cool. Like, it didn't matter.
Well, so let me ask you this then. How mm-hmm. did you feel about all the Firefest stuff when that happened with him?
Oh, I don't know nothing about that. I think he got scammed.
Yeah,
I think
go.
He's a good person, but I think, yeah.
All right. You know what? Shout out Ja Rule.
Yes.
If anybody got a problem with him, you can holla
yes.
at her about it. That was a dad joke that I attended. That's
oh.
fine. Okay, yeah. Now back to the story mm-hmm. of our So you're this little 3-4-year-old writing songs and mm-hmm. making your brothers perform and everything.
Yeah.
And how long was it until you are soloing at the church? Are you like 6 by that point?
Yeah, probably about 6 or 7. Like,
no kidding.
Miss Kelly finally let me get on that stage and sing. And the first time I did, mm-hmm. I forgot the lyrics. And they were like, it's all right, baby, it's all right. And they started the record over.
Really?
And, or they started the song over.
Yeah.
And I sung it all the way through and it was good. And then from then on, like, they loved having me as like the little baby child
and so
soloist.
From that point, did you just have like the performance bug? Like, you just needed to, you just wanted to feel that warmth at all times, or what?
Yeah. I just always wanted to be Lil Bow Wow really bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ja Rule, Lil Bow Wow.
And, well, specifically Lil Bow Wow and JoJo.
Yeah.
Because they were child phenomenons.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly. That's when he was a child. Because right now you need to
yes.
refer to him as Shad Moss.
Oh,
put some respect on the
okay,
name.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So you just love JoJo and,
mm-hmm.
and so you had like dreams of being a child star then.
I really did, and I just saw how Bow Wow was doing it so effortlessly and amazingly, and I was like, dang, like, he's killing it, he's goals. And JoJo, she was singing.
Oh yeah.
Singing her heart out, like real powerhouse, phenomenal, soulful vocals. As a child, as a baby, like, my voice wasn't even developed like that. Like, I feel like my voice finally started getting, like, good in my 20s, like, my early 20s, late high school years. Yeah, my early 20s, yeah.
That's like you really literally found your voice.
And I got confident and comfortable, and I was practicing more, and I was singing live more, and then my voice just got stronger.
Did you feel a confidence in your writing ability grow at that time, too?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And there are people who tried me and said, you know, I wasn't the best writer, but, you know, I always wanted to express myself. So, you know, I just didn't think too much about what those people were saying. I just, here's a good beat. Here's a good melody. Let me just put whatever lyrics in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think lyrics should be perfect necessarily. Just tell your story. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So. Sometimes the perfection is in the imperfection, the flaws, mm-hmm. the little, like, the things that add character, the, mm-hmm. the je ne sais quoi. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay. French.
French. You know what I'm saying? Hey, shout out to the
okay.
LA Public Library.
Yes. all right.
You're funny.
So.
Here's my question then. If you had this desire to like almost be a child star, right? Like, that's kind of what you had in the back of your head.
Mm-hmm.
Did you and the family take any steps towards that? Did you ever look for like representation when you're a kid?
Wow.
'Cause sometimes I meet these artists that I think like just got their start maybe a few
mm-hmm.
years ago, but they might have had like a little mini career at 13 or something. Was that you?
No, I was never that good
okay.
ever. Like, the first time I recorded a song, I was like 14, and it was with this amazing person and rapper named James Daniels, and
shout out,
like,
James Daniels.
Yes, and he let me get on a hook,
yeah,
or on his hook, and I personally feel like I sounded a hot mess,
yeah,
and but it was like a baby me, like, I didn't know how to just be free on a track, I didn't know how to feel it, I just sounded like a pop hot scary mess,
yeah.
Like, it was just this terrifying, disgusting, horrifying, Saw 5, Skeleton Key. It was just not
What did that
cute.
Recording session look like? Was it like the pop stopper with a sock over it type
yes.
thing in somebody's
in
bathroom?
His basement. Oh, basement. It was yeah. like an unfinished basement. And yeah. yeah, and there was really no padding for real. It yeah. was... It was a little beautiful ratchet.
Was he in high school or something? Or like, what was he trying to... No, he was a grown man.
He was a grown man. Oh, this yeah. was, yeah, he was a grown man.
Okay, mm-hmm. yeah, so he was trying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
What did your folks do as you were growing up?
So my mama was a project manager, and my dad, he just had all of these dope, like, fire positions. Like, he was just always a free spirit and just hopping from one job to the next. I don't know if he'll be mad at me for saying this, but like, he worked at Freddie Mac, he worked at Flock for Love of Children in DC. Mm-hmm. He has big roots in DC. CASA, Court Appointed Special Advocates for Children, I believe.
Are these kind of, these are kind of like nonprofit organizations or
nonprofit
something like
yeah. organizations. He started in the health field and things like that.
Yeah.
And then he became an author. Then he was a teacher. Like, he's just a really wild, like, free spirit. Like, just like myself.
He just kind of knows how to do a little mm-hmm. bit of everything. Get in mm-hmm. where he needs to. Yeah.
Yeah. Moving yeah. all the time. Like, we moved all the time. And I'm sure that probably encouraged why, like, me going to a million different high schools.
Right.
Because.
In the D.C. area, though, yeah? You didn't, like, move from city to city? You're just kind of moving around the city?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically. And, yeah. And, I mean, I was born in D.C., I spent 3 years in Fort Washington, Maryland.
Okay.
Then my elementary school years, I was in Chantilly, Virginia, and Ashburn, Virginia.
And what were the differences in some of those schools? Like, would it be different sociological makeups?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was so much trauma happening.
How so?
I don't remember Fort Washington because I was like a little three-year-old
yeah.
snot nose. And then, but the schools in Virginia, they were predominantly white, and I just don't feel like their parents were very hip to, I don't know, just diversity or yeah. like just being sensitive to like other races and
right.
stuff like that. So it was definitely like a racist, like traumatizing time. Like, I went through a lot.
No,
like,
shit. You're just like going through like constant microaggressions from kids and shit
from
like that.
Kids and
yeah,
from
and
teachers.
From parents. Oh yeah.
This one teacher I had, she it was during home ec, and she was offering like black tattoos and color tattoos, and just, you know, for all of us to just mm-hmm. have like a, I guess, a nice little cool like treat
right.
or whatever. So I was like, oh, I want the color tattoo. And she was like, well, I think you should get the black tattoo because I think that's the only thing that's gonna like show on your skin.
Oh, wow.
Just like
yeah.
it's just always like little weird, uncomfortable, ignorant
uh-huh.
stuff that always happened.
Uh-huh.
And then like they wondered why like I was just always in and out of trouble. I just wasn't messing with just blatant ignorance.
There's studies that show, you know, black children in a predominantly mm-hmm. white school mm-hmm. are more likely to get detention, more mm-hmm. likely to get suspended, get picked on by teachers, and you kind of like looking back and mm-hmm. realize you were probably experiencing mm-hmm. that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Probably definitely due to just like lack of understanding and,
yeah.
and racism on their part, you know what I'm saying?
Did you like, get to see any, you know, black role models at that school? Were there any teachers or anything?
Dang, that's deep. No.
Yeah.
I don't remember not damn nobody. Like,
yeah.
no, just, I just had my friends. I do not remember any black people.
Mm-hmm.
No, well, nobody stuck out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember, no.
And so when you switch back out of Maryland and back to D.C.,
mm-hmm.
Are you going to more predominantly black school?
Yes, and that was just the best thing that ever happened to me. Like, I fell in love. Like, it wasn't even real, but, like, I just fell in love with just, like, so many beautiful chocolate guys. Just the idea of like finally feeling pretty, because
mm-hmm.
at these schools I kind of like felt like an ugly duckling. But as soon as I went to a school where it was predominantly black, like I just felt like the guys were definitely like trying to like holler.
Yeah.
And so it was a dream come true. Life started getting fun after that.
That's like, so it's so sad to hear the elementary story and so beautiful to hear like the kind of junior
middle
high
school,
yeah, the middle
high
school,
school
story.
Yeah.
yeah, like getting
mm-hmm.
to come into your own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really nice. And then at a school like that, were you getting to see black adult role models as
yeah.
well? Yeah, that's
yeah.
very nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time,
yeah.
it's kind of do you think growing up around that sort of not so hidden racism has mm-hmm. helped you navigate and learn to like code switch a little bit as an adult?
Shit. I feel like that kind of brainwashed me a bit to even look at, certain things from their point of view that was racist and ignorant. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not going to go too deep on it because I feel terrible about like the way, like I feel like I used to even think, but it was definitely due to like conditioning and just like, so I would never do that to my child. Like I would never put my beautiful chocolate child in no predominantly white area, like or white school would definitely have to be diverse mm-hmm. and just all around good vibes, mm-hmm. just good like energy, you know, and just discussion about like, I don't know, the truth.
I got you. Yeah. I mean, I think that's something in listening to the record and just the overall vibe that you put forth. It's so mm-hmm. nice to see this representation of a strong Black woman,
mm-hmm.
You know, getting her voice elevated and being that relatable character, getting
Thank
to
you.
Be a role model to young women. You know what I'm saying?
Dang, man. Thanks.
Yeah. I don't know. Not to get all mushy.
No, that feels really great.
Yeah.
That's the best part of this.
I mean, it's like I told you, you had like dozens of people dressing mm-hmm. up for you for Halloween.
That was
you know
cool.
what I mean? Like,
that
yeah.
Was really, really cool.
You're really a role model out
Thank
here. It's amazing.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't believe. I always felt like, dang, like, I don't really have a look. Like, how would anyone be me for Halloween? And
you don't
it's
realize
crazy.
That you have a look, but you
yeah,
got a look.
Yeah, I didn't realize yeah. it until like Halloween happened. I was just like, dang, like that's cool.
Yeah,
like,
it was really dope. Thanks for tuning in. Skullcandy wanted to show you some love for listening by hooking you up with 15% off your next purchase. Head over to skullcandy.com and use the code YOUFEELME19 at checkout to get 15% off anything site-wide. Beyond the different cultural experiences mm-hmm. in school, how were you with school? You say you were a writer from a young age. Did that translate into mm-hmm. schooling?
No, I was a hot mess.
Yeah.
I just didn't care. I was always skipping. But I was skipping to go to, like, the museums.
Oh, wow.
And stuff, yeah. And, like,
there's a lot of museums in mm-hmm, D.C. There's a lot of things to see.
Exactly, and they're all free. So it was just fun getting lost in D.C. and just soaking in like the beautiful sights and just the beautiful people and just the energy. So school was never my thing, but luckily I graduated. I don't know how. I really feel like they felt bad for me and they gave me like,
they're like, get out,
like,
just go on.
Yeah, but I'm glad it's over.
You mentioned you have brothers. Do you have sisters too?
Mm-hmm.
How big is your family?
So I have two older sisters, two older brothers. And two younger brothers.
Oh, so you got a big family.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're kind of like bottom middle, like towards the end middle?
Yeah. So I have like, so I'm the youngest girl.
Yeah.
And I have, so two little brothers. So yeah.
What was that kind of social dynamic like even within the family? Was part of singing wanting mm-hmm. to get more attention, you think? Like,
oh yeah, they definitely thought like I was annoying because I was always singing, but also I was just obsessed with my parents. I just always wanted to be around them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were kind of just like, they wanted to be around their friends and things like that. And so like naturally I feel like my parents, even though I got my ass whoops, like I got disciplined and things like that, but like I think they were jealous. I think they thought like I was like, I don't know, just I never got in trouble or something. But now we're all good now. Like, we're cool.
You were like, because you were the youngest girl, so you're like the baby of the family. They're like, oh, you take it so easy on them.
Yeah.
By the time you got that many siblings, the parents mm-hmm. are like, hey, okay, we're ready to like be adults again,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah,
right. So by the time you're done with high school, mm-hmm. did you already kind of like know what did you know that this was going to be the path, and did you start to pursue it at that point?
Dang, I just was not thinking about anything. I just knew I'm just going to make music.
Yeah.
I'm just going to make music. That's it. Like, I want to be successful. I want to be like a superstar, but it wasn't something I could dream. I couldn't dream about days where like I was rich or something. I just had to spend those days recording and dropping music on like SoundCloud or, you know, any streaming service or whatever. So like, I never spent time dreaming, just really like just doing it.
Just putting boots to the ground
and being
doing
sad.
The work. Why were you sad?
Because it just didn't seem like it was good enough. It didn't seem like no one like really cared or really even thought I could sing. But like now it's like, okay, it's just things just take time.
Yeah.
But I never thought.
I think you have such a unique vocal tone that maybe like, you know, people just needed to catch up or something, really. You know what I mean?
Oh, thank you.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know. It sounds like I'm just gassing you up.
No,
but
I appreciate it.
Yeah. What was the first streaming site that you start releasing music on? Is it SoundCloud?
It was actually Facebook. I was dropping really terrifying videos, terrifying comedic videos of myself and of like singing as well. And then I found out about YouTube, and then somebody was like, oh, you know, you need to get on SoundCloud. That's the wave. Got on SoundCloud. And honestly, that's how Dreamville got hit to me. Yeah. Because
Omen found you.
Yeah, Omen found me. And, well, his engineer, Aaron, found me and was listening to my stuff on SoundCloud, passed it to Omen. Omen passed it to Dreamville. And they saw, like, I was getting, like, views and stuff on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And so they flew me out to L.A. And it's just been history.
Before we get to there, let me go back a little bit. Because you bring up that you're putting out comedic videos on Facebook, right?
Uh-huh.
And one of the I've been following along from a distance for a while. And one thing that I think... I think I pick up just from casually watching is that like you're like genuinely funny.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? And like thanks. Like you know, just recently that video of you and Guap Dad kind of like improvising, like that's like laugh out loud.
You saw that.
I see shit. I'm not Nardwar, but I see shit. And so yeah, like is your sense of humor something that like people don't or people like take for granted or don't realize about you until they meet you, or like how long, when did you know you were funny, I guess?
I mean, I've always been goofy and stuff, and it's just always been something I always did, but I was never, like, passionate about it. I was more so passionate about singing, but, like, the comedic side always emerged, like, randomly, casually. And at first, I was doing YouTube comedic, like, sketches, like... But
like changing lyrics to songs or what?
Or just like
actual sketches?
Just actual sketches of just, like, me editing the own video, just randomness of just... creating like jokes and stuff like that. But it became too much, like the idea of like being consistent as a comedian, like it just was not my passion.
Yeah.
So like I stayed with the music. But like with all of this stuff now, like yeah, I think people, it's hard because it's like I want people to see my personality and like the craziness, but I also get afraid that like, you know, people might get scared off from like the intense energy.
That's the funny thing is like the showing the comedic personality is a very vulnerable thing in and of itself, because usually like
you're not like this dainty little like R&B.
You're real, yeah.
Star
it's like
anymore.
you make this such serious music that I think people would almost be taken off guard by that. You know,
they really are by like my views. Like I probably lost maybe I don't know. A whole bunch of people when I came out and I said like, you know, I'm for like the LGBTQ community and like I don't mess with anyone who goes around saying like that they hate people of the, you know, trans community. Like I hate people who hate
beautiful
people that are just living their lives. So it's like I realized like, damn, like I have a lot of opinions that people just not really, like, I gotta be careful, I guess. Even though it's like, no, like, this should just be a unanimous opinion. Like, why aren't you minding your business? Like,
that's a great question.
Like, what the hell
is wrong
with you?
It's so easy to wake up and mind your business,
you
know? That kind of brings me to something I've been wondering. Because you are so open on social media, like... How do you kind of balance that in your mind? Like, do you have a schedule in your head of like, oh, I need to go live on Instagram today? Or is it just kind of, are you flying by the seat of your pants? Because it seems like you're always really out there. And I wonder about being a modern artist, like how much of it is that studio work or like this kind of work versus just like being available to your fans online?
I just be bored.
Yeah.
And like, all it takes is someone to say, go live. And I'm just like, no, I shouldn't. I won't. But... it conditions me. It brainwashes me without me realizing it. And before I know it, I'm on live acting a hot ass mess.
You're funny as fuck online,
though.
Like,
it's
online.
Fun, though.
Yeah.
It's fun.
What has this year been like for you? Is it everything that you expected, or is it more or less fun getting known than you thought it would be?
Oh, man. The only thing I would say is that this year I learned, okay, there's three things I got to communicate what I need from mm-hmm. people and like who I am to people so that like we're good. Mm-hmm. And then like I'll say also like to never commit to something that I never wanted to do in the first place. And then also what I've learned this year is that if I had just gotten into an argument with someone, it's really hard to walk down the street. And if someone sees me and they're like, hey, like I've for the most part been able to turn it on and just like be fake and be like super happy and sweet.
Yeah, but it's just like,
yo, I just gotten into a huge argument. And it's just like, that is like the only thing that's hard, like getting used to, I think, is just that. Like, cause I don't like being fake. You know, yeah. I want to be like, yo, I'm gonna be real with you. I'm sad today, but I don't want to make someone sad that's meeting me. Like, right. So that's just been like,
I would imagine that would be one of the hardest parts of you know, celebrity or growing into celebrity is that, yeah, people forget to look at you as like a full human, a three-dimensional mm-hmm. human. You know what I mean?
But
like
I'm
you
grateful.
Can have opposite. Yeah, absolutely.
Cause nobody really for real knows me.
Yeah.
So
yeah. But they will. But no, like, yeah, that's that thing is like, you know, sometimes you just got to let somebody be sad. Yeah. Out here in L.A., you know, people won't fuck with you like that.
It
like
does.
In small cities.
Right. Yeah. It really, yeah. I've noticed I've been able to like move like alone out here.
You can maneuver in L.A. a little easier, you know. So, yeah, let's get back to Dreamville. So what's it like when they fly you out to L.A. And you're getting wined and dined and they're doing all the things?
Wined
like,
and dined?
Well, not wined. Whatever.
What?
Whatever. Whatever.
Took
whatever
me Taco Bell. So it was. And wine, look, no wine and
no shots. No shots at Taco Bell. I'm still trying to get that sponsorship.
No,
you know,
I
you know.
Love Taco Bell now. I love it. I wish they had some like alkaline options,
yeah,
but
right.
Like, I mean, I grew up like that. Those affordable tacos really got me through.
Hell
okay,
yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, I love Taco Bell. I love the T4, the Mexican pizza. I love the soft tacos. It's just tasty. It's just right. And I might have to relapse on veganism after this. And
Taco Bell is one of the best restaurants for vegans. They got options.
Really?
It's true. So when they bring you out to LA and you're doing the Taco Bell thing, I mean, what's that feeling? Is it validation? Is it like excitement? Is it, I don't know. You tell me what you're going through at that time.
No, and by the way, I mentioned to Eve that I wanted to go to Taco Bell. And he actually hadn't been there in like years. So it was like a cool, like fun thing.
Yeah.
But it was just good vibes. Like Cole was just like, he was just so happy. He was in the studio, like, spitting stuff. And when there was an opening, he was like, okay, so, like, see if you can do something on this or, like, maybe try something with said, like, and I just was free. I just was real free in there.
Yeah.
And then that's how FaceTime got created. And this other record that never came out. But it was just really amazing, amazing vibes.
And so did it just feel like you found your tribe, you know what I mean? Like, as far as the music industry goes, did it feel like these are my people?
I loved them so much, and it was good vibes, and I felt like home, but I did not think it was about to be my home because Cole was like, Earth Gang, I love them. I want to sign them right now. And he just kept saying that, and I was like, dang, like, I know he does not like me because, you know, he wasn't like saying that, like he wasn't like treating me like how he was talking about Earth Gang. But when I think about it, it's like he probably wouldn't have talked about Earth Gang like that if they were right there either.
Right.
So it was one of them things like I was like, yeah, Cole, he not really feeling me. But then 2 months later, and it turns out like he was because they signed me.
And how has being on that label affected your creativity? Have they just nurtured and incubated have you felt pressure ever? Yeah.
Never. I tell you, I've been into so many like scam situations, like so many. And Dreamville has literally saved me. Like they really will show you like, they're just a perfect like example, a perfect prototype of just how you run a label and how you just let an artist grow.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they're stubborn enough to say like, I want to do this, they're open to letting them do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we fall on our ass and we take that L and it's like a beautiful growth, but it's like they're not giving up on us. It's all love. It's all encouraging vibes. It's just family. And like, it's just been beautiful vibes. Like, they just really take all of us in as, like, their children, so their siblings. Like, it's the sweetest thing ever.
I've been watching Dreamville grow for the last few years, and just I think the way that Cole and team are moving is so wonderful, and like they're really letting all of the signees grow at their own pace. And yeah, I think like the music that's coming out of the label is just perfect. It's just it's really historic. You know, it's gonna be looked. They're all gonna be those records that you know is clean in time. You know what I'm saying? In 10, 15 years, because like people are gonna look back at them as classics. You know, so yeah.
Shout out to Dreamville. I just know they are literally good people because I mean, I've gotten into a lot of trouble, so I could say to some extent like the common denominator might be over here, like I may be stubborn and things like that, but when I tell you like they, like there's no beef ever, like it's just good genuine vibes, and like they understand me, and it's just the most beautiful thing ever, because I just never thought I could ever be with people that are so sweet and patient. It's the perfect match.
Yeah.
Because never have they ever just treated me like they were disgusted by me or ashamed or like annoyed or irritated. Like, it's always been love. Always. Yeah.
They're sensitive to your
needs. Cole to Felton to Adam. Yeah, exactly. To everybody. MK. Like, just beautiful vibes. Like,
that's dope. I would imagine you're coming kind of towards the end of your promo cycle for this record and starting to gear up for new music and everything. Yeah. Like, tell me what's next for you. Is it a little bit of a break, or is it straight back to the lab?
What's next is to just be with my dog.
Yeah.
And
shout out to Galactus. Yeah, I just followed him on
Galactus,
Instagram.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's everything.
It's a big ass Akita. He's a good looking dog.
He's a sweetie.
Yeah.
So just to be like all laid up with him, like that's my baby. So to find an apartment, I'm headlining a tour in Europe.
Awesome.
And I'm going to do some press out there. And then January, February, I'm blocking everybody. I ain't answering nobody's calls. No. I just want to make music. And I just want to mentally just decompress, spiritually get my, I don't know, the chakras aligned with whatever I decide I'm going to find in life, whether it's rocks or God. Or, you know, I just want to, like, just get everything together.
Yep.
And just
soak it in, you
know. Yeah. Meditate, absolutely. Sleep, you know what I'm saying? Maybe even quit drinking, I don't know.
It's easy when you really get to it, you know.
You did that. That's inspiring.
You know, I guess.
That's really inspiring. Yes, it is.
All right,
that's
thank
hard.
You. I'll take it. It is.
We're in an industry where people are constantly throwing it at us.
People look at you weird when you're like, ah, no, I'm good, you know. But it is what it is. Like, I'm old enough to where I don't need to be peer pressured, you feel
right.
me? So anyhow, Ari, I want to thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Watching how you move today on set, watching you perform, I mean, you're just such a light. You make everybody so comfortable,
and the
performance is beautiful. I can't wait for people to see it. So that said, tell the people where they can find you online.
Wow. Well, y'all can find me on Spotify, I guess Apple, YouTube, SoundCloud.
Everywhere. You just
Farmers
gotta Google
Only.
You.
OK Farmers. Cupid, POF.
You on OK Cupid?
No.
That's a dark one, I think. Like, back when I was single, that one.
OK. This is a little scary site. And Tinder, I got on for like a day recently.
Yeah.
Just to
I mean, if somebody sees you on a dating app, though, they're going to think it's a scam.
Exactly. That's why I was like, this is stupid. I'm just going to wait until God puts a man in my life.
If ever we matched on a dating site when I was single, I'd be like, that's not really you.
Really?
Like, yeah, why are you stealing Ari Lennox's photos? You know what I'm saying?
I know. Yeah. But somebody might be like, oh, maybe it is you. And it might be a genuine little handsome prince.
You know, it could be. We'll see. I wish you the best with
thank
that.
You.
So that said, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Before I get out of here, I want to say that, you know, we've been doing the You Feel Me podcast for 2 years now, and this is going to be the series finale. It is going to continue next year, so you are the series.
Oh, really?
That's it.
This
is the last one. You are the we're ending it on a high note
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you so much.
For everything.
Yeah, thanks.
This is awesome.
It's been a great opportunity.
It's over?
It is. This is it. So that said, I have like a Grammys thank you list that I'm
going
to read through real quick that you can sit through.
All right.
But I just want to go through and thank some of the crew and everything before we get out of here. I want to say, first and foremost, thank you to my A1 from day one, Ben Shin, behind the boards, making the shit sound buttery. If you've been following along for the last decade, you already know what the fuck it is. I would like to thank Jessica at Skull Candy for big bossing this whole endeavor. Thanks to Catherine and McKenna at Skull Candy for this opportunity, getting me involved to help Skull Candy build a music program and keeping a roof over my head for the last 3 years. Huge thank you to Adam from Ham on Everything, who I've worked really closely with this year, and he's truly displayed his talents in helping curate and booking all the artists we've had on the show, including the lovely Ari Lennox.
Wow, yeah. Adam.
Yeah, Adam, that's my guy.
Shout out Adam, thank you.
Shout out Adam.
Yeah, shout out Adam.
For real.
Changing my life. Seriously, because this was awesome.
Oh, man, I appreciate that. Thank you so much to the creative director at Skullcandy, Ted, and his team, including Burgundy, Dylan, Parker, Justin, our stylist, Vivian, for keeping everyone crispy. You know what I'm saying? That's Vivian who dressed you today.
Yo, everything. Where are you at, sis? Where's she at?
Yeah, Vivian killed it.
Everything.
She kept everybody crispy in some very challenging colors. And our makeup masters are here for beating my ugly mug every episode. You feel me? Thank you to the production team at Penelope Studios. Their ever-positive director, Chad. Shout out, Chad. The producer and my soon-to-be mentor, Lloyd. Shout out to Lloyd. First AD, Lenny, for keeping the ship afloat and who still owes me that book that I loaned him. I'm going to hold him to Kyle, the production manager, all the DPs and camera operators, including Robert and Brennan, the art department head, Sander, who's built all the outlandish sets you guys have seen. Audio guys on set, including Derek and Josh and all the rest. And finally, shout out to my best friend and lead photographer, Dom, and all his team for keeping the mood light, making everyone look pretty. And without this huge village, this content wouldn't exist. So I want to thank everybody so much. Been an amazing opportunity. And now it's on to the next. And I also want to say, you know, after we filmed the first episode, my dad passed away this year.
Wow. Yep. I'm sorry about that.
It's all right. And so I want to dedicate this season to him. Mm. And then.
Yes. That's all right.
We'll edit that part out.
No.
Yeah, so that's it. My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition. And this was the finale of You Feel Me at Skullcandy, the podcast where I talk to artists and athletes about life and culture. Mm-hmm. Thank you for following along. It's been dope. Peace.
Since it's National Women's Month, I'm speaking to all my ladies out there. It is time for the first sip. Don't worry, men, you can participate too. For those of you who are new to the show, welcome and congratulations for your very first sip experience. To those of you who are not new to the show, you know what time it is. It's time to grab your glasses, your cups, your mug, maybe your flask, whatever you got. It's time to take a moment out just for us, to give ourselves a pat on the back, to say, hey, congratulations for all that you are, all that you do, all that you are becoming, all that you have shared right here today. I know you're probably just getting your day started, but you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the work you did yesterday. So we take this moment out together, the first sip on Miss J in the morning, to acknowledge that, to take a moment and forget about what you have yet to do, what you still need to do, what you wish you had done. No, this is not the time for that. This is the time for you to say, you know what? In spite of it all, despite it all, I am still amazing. I am still great. I am still wonderful. I am still beautiful. I am still powerful. I am still strong. And so we raise our glasses, our mugs, no matter what we have in it. If it's a little libation, drink responsibly. But you can have coffee, tea, water, juice, a smoothie, maybe even a mimosa. No matter what it is, you raise that glass. You raise that mug. You raise that cup. You raise it high and you say, yes, I am. I am. I am. I am. And we're going to take our first sip together. Now, y'all know the best part of Miss J waking up is coffee in my cup. And does it not smell good? Girl, but if it ain't coffee for you and it might be tea, no matter what it is, like I said before, let's raise it right now and take our first sip together. Go ahead, go in, go take another sip. I'm taking one too. Oh yeah, congratulations to all of you for participating in the first sip. Let's make this a habit. Each and every day right here on Miss J in the morning, we're going to take a moment out just for us. Step away from the hustle and bustle of life and take a moment to celebrate you. And if nobody's told you, I'm proud of you and I love you. Let's get right back to the show. Hey ladies, it's March, which means it's officially Women's History Month, or like we like to call it National Her Story Month. Now, Women's History Month has had its origin as a national celebration in, guess what? The 1980s. I know, right? 1981 to be exact, when Congress passed a bill which authorized and requested the president to proclaim the week beginning March 7th in 1982 as Women's History Week. Throughout the next 5 years, Congress continued to pass joint resolutions designating a week in March as Women's History Week. Finally, in 1987, after being petitioned by the National Women's History Project, Congress passed PUB L 100-9, y'all look that up on your own, which designated the month of March as Women's History Month. Between 1988 and 1994, Congress passed additional resolutions requesting and authorizing the president to proclaim March of each year as Women's History Month. Since 1995, presidents have issued a series of annual proclamations designating the month of March as Women's History Month. These proclamations celebrate the contributions of women in the United States and recognize the specific achievements women have made over the course of American history in a variety of fields. This month, we are celebrating all things Pumps. Pumps for Women, Inc., our sponsoring organization right here on Pumps Radio, is focused on the purpose, the uplifting, the mentoring, the positivity, and the sisterhood women need to thrive. This month is one of the most exciting months of the year, and I'm thankful to bring it right here on Ms. J in the Morning. So tune in for new episodes Monday through Friday. You can listen 24/7 on your favorite podcast app anywhere in the world. We are going to do all music, all events, all trivia, all interviews, everything surrounding women all March. 31 days of amazing female power. Make sure to keep it locked right here on Miss J in the Morning, and visit our website, pumpsforwomeninc.org. PUMPSFORWOMENINC.org. Pumps Radio, thank you. Thank you to all the women, past, present, and even future generations, for your contribution to our success. Happy National Women's History Month from Ms. J in the Morning.
Hey, what's up? Yo, this is 50 Cent.
What's up, y'all? I'm Beyonce.
What's going on? It's your boy Drizzy Drake, and you are now rocking with my homie, my homie.
cute. You so cute, girl. I love your nose. It's cute. All right, so I know you're in here and you're a little young, but this next song is called Pussy Pop. Here we are. Jesus. She's smoking on this straw. You don't care. Say you don't judge me, you love me, that's why I keep you near. If I pop this pussy for you tonight, oh, will you promise, baby, won't you make a promise that I'm gonna be your wife? If you really love me, I'll fuck you good, fuck you good, fuck you good. To treat you how you should. Hey, Adventure Time is what we got on. Sit back that thing, if you really want some. We kicking about politics. Smoking on draw, and baby, you know I like it slow and deep. If I pop this pussy for you tonight, oh, will you promise, baby, won't you make a promise that I'm gonna be your wife? If you really love me, I'll fuck you good, fuck you good, fuck you good. Treat you how you should. Sit in a baby you love. Sit in a baby you love. See, that's why I love. Sit in a baby you love. Sit in a baby you love. All right. Well, how many of y'all got your own spot? Oh, me neither. All right, here we go. All right, I need y'all to bust it open for me, please. Seriously, everyone 50 and up, I need you to the front busting it. Can't stand. stays where I leave it, and all them damn rules I created. A Dollar Tree wine glasses in the air. Let me see them. Hey, Andre. Yeah. Hey. No longer afraid of the dark, 'cause that light
stepping outside of your comfort zones and cursing with me. This next song is for my natural sisters. Like, I made it for us because we sexy and fine. And I feel like a lot of people sleep on our gloriousness. And so, yeah, this is for my natural brown queens, okay? And I'm talking about all shades of brown, okay? So here we go. love you, DC. Shout out to CJ on the drums. Stanley on congos. Chris on the keys. Taylor on the guitar. Jerome on the bass. And Dave James for helping me sing. Yeah. I'm Ari Lennox. Thanks, Tiny Desk, so much. I appreciate y'all.